As we are going through the Bible, of course, we've come now to the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to John. And in this chapter, we find in verse 4, it declares that Jesus, in returning to Galilee, must needs go through Samaria. And we read in the story how that when they came to the Samaritan city of Shechem, Jesus was weary. It was about noon. He stayed there by Jacob's well to rest while the disciples went into the village to buy some food. While he was there, a woman of the city came out to draw water. Jesus opened up a conversation with her by asking her for a drink. She was a little surprised that he would ask her for a drink, being he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan, and traditionally they had no interchange or commerce between them. And so she questioned, how is it that he, being a Jew, would ask her, a Samaritan, for a drink of water? And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink. She said, no, I wouldn't. That well is deep and you don't have anything to draw with. And Jesus said unto her, he who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give shall never thirst again. It's like a fountain of water springing up within. She said, I'll take some of this water so I don't have to come out here every day and draw from the well. Jesus said, well, first go call your husband. She said, I don't have any husband. And Jesus said, well, that is true. You've had five husbands. The man you're living with presently, you didn't marry. She said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now, our fathers say that we are to worship God in this mountain, and you say we're to worship God in Jerusalem. Jesus said, the day is coming when men will neither worship God in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, for God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is seeking such to worship him. She said, I know that when the Messiah comes, he's going to teach us everything. And Jesus said, woman, I who am speaking to you am he. As we look at this story, we perhaps wonder why Jesus would talk to this woman. Not because she was a Samaritan and he was a Jew, but because she had such a horrible reputation. She had been married five times. And now she's living with a man that she didn't marry. Though that may be something that we've become familiar with in our culture, it wasn't common in that culture. It was something that was looked down upon very heavily in that culture. In fact, the fact that she was coming to draw water at noon and by herself is perhaps significant, because going to the well to draw water was just sort of a part of the social day for the women. They would all gather together and go together out to the well, talking over the affairs and sort of gossiping and visiting with each other as they went out to draw water. And thus it was a part of their social life that they would go together. But this woman was sort of excluded from the social life of the other women, and no doubt they were fearful of her. She had her reputation of being able to twist men around her little finger, and they perhaps were worried about their own marriages if this woman was around. And so she was isolated from the women of the community, and thus coming by herself to draw water from the well. You really wouldn't think that she was a very good candidate to receive the gift of God, eternal life. And yet, think again. Why is it, do you suppose, she had been married five times and was now just living with a man without the benefit of marriage? She no doubt had and was conscious of an inner void that she was trying to fill with a relationship with a man. She was making that very common mistake that people make over and over again, thinking that the deep thirst within their life can be satisfied by a relationship with someone else. She no doubt felt that if she could just find the right man, she would be content. And I suppose that with every new husband, she felt that she had now found the happiness that she was searching for. But before long, the reality hit. The man had not fulfilled this great need within, and so it was searching for another experience, another man. I received a card a while back from a friend who had broken up his fifth marriage and now was going with another woman. And he sent me a card to announce the engagement. And I thought it was rather interesting because the card said, "Once in a lifetime, you find that one person that you know that you were meant for." Unfortunately, he since divorced her, so I guess he's looking for that once in a lifetime again. Deep within every man, there's a thirst for God. David described it in the 63rd Psalm. He said, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." In Psalm 42, David said, "As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." And David was expressing something that is common to all men. In all of us, there is a deep down inside thirst for God. But man tries to satisfy this thirst in many different ways and by many different experiences. There are some who try to satisfy this thirst for God with alcohol. And Paul the Apostle, writing to the Ephesians, said, "Don't be drunk with wine where there is excess, but be ye being filled with the Spirit." Now, Paul put together in close conjunction two things that we think of as perhaps very opposite, and we even question why Paul would put together being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. But in reality, what is a man seeking when he turns to alcohol? He's seeking to find something that's going to bring him maybe courage, maybe confidence. He's looking for it to fill something in his life, a need, a perceived need within his life. And so he turns to alcohol to somehow try and fill that conceived need. What does a person discover when he is filled with the Spirit? That need within his life is totally met. There is that contentment. There is that satisfaction. There is that overflowing joy through the fullness of the Spirit. And so what the man who turns to alcohol is seeking is found by the man who is filled with the Spirit. Many have tried to satisfy that inner thirst with pleasurable experiences, surfing, skydiving, a Harley. These things in and of themselves are not wrong, but they just can't fill the inner void. For a while, you might be satisfied. But then soon you find yourself thirsting again. Actually, a Christian can enjoy surfing and water skiing and these things much more than a sinner. Because as a Christian, you're not looking for these things to do for you what they can't do, and that is satisfy the inner void. And thus, you can enjoy them because to you, they are just a diversion, a time of pleasure and recreation, but you have your fulfillment in Christ. I've often said, and it's a good time of the year to say it again, if you're not a Christian, oh, make sure you accept Christ before you go on your vacation. You'll enjoy it so much more. I mean, the greens of the trees will be so much greener. The skies will be so much bluer. You'll just appreciate so much more those things as a Christian because your fulfillment is in Christ and you're not looking to these things to try to fill a void that they really can't fill. Jesus said that he was able to give her water, that if she would drink of it, she would never thirst again. He said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. Jesus was speaking of the water from the well when he said, you drink of it, you'll thirst again. If you drink from the water of the wells of life, of the pleasures and of fulfilled goals, you'll find that you will thirst again. You ought to write that over every ambition that you have. Go ahead, drink of that water, but you will thirst again. Write that over every material thing that you are hoping to possess. The new car, new home, new boat, whatever. Right over the top of it, drink of this water, but you will thirst again. Write that over every goal of your life. Achieve it, attain it, but you will thirst again. This thirst that is in man is that thirst for God that can only be filled by a meaningful relationship with God. And when Jesus is talking to her about this living water, he's talking about a relationship with God that satisfies that deep, clamant thirst of the soul of man for God. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink. But he could give to her that if she would drink of that water, she would never thirst again. I believe that she thought, this guy is weird. He's putting me on. Some sort of gimmick here, snake oil. He could give water that I'd never thirst again. But sort of playing along with it, she said, I'll take some so I don't have to come out here every day and draw water from this well. And so he said, well, first, go call your husband. And she responded, I don't have any husband. You see, Jesus wants to talk to her about the deep spiritual needs in her life. And he's going to bring her around now very quickly to the spiritual dimension. He's been talking in the dimension of the flesh or the material. She's talking about water out of this well. Jesus is talking about the water of life in a spiritual sense. And so... he's going to quickly bring her from her material dimension into the spiritual dimension by saying to her, well, it's true when you say you have no husband because you've actually had five, and the man you're presently living with, you didn't marry. And immediately she was jerked into the spiritual realm. She said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." And when she came into the spiritual realm, she then confessed the thirst that was there, the thirst for God. Our fathers say that we're to worship God in this mountain. You say that we're to worship God in Jerusalem. Where can I find God? She was wearing a mask. She thought that no one could see inside the emptiness that was there. I'm certain that in Shechem, she was a cute little gal. I mean, she had the outward appearance that she's got it made. She can have any man she wants. Other women were no doubt very jealous of her and her ability to just sort of twist men around. And she no doubt gave that kind of a aura from her that, you know, I've got the world by a string, but Jesus saw right through it, and he saw the emptiness that was inside, the thing that was driving her to these many relationships as she was trying to find something that would be satisfying and fulfilling, and trying to find it in a relationship. It's found in a relationship, but not with man, a relationship with God. And so Jesus is now drawing her into the true spiritual realm where her thirst really lies. And now she lays it bare. Where do I find God? Does it surprise you that Jesus would offer to this woman with a bad reputation, this very immoral woman, he would offer her the living water? If you are surprised, it's because you really don't know how loving and kind, merciful, and filled with grace Jesus is. He's the most kind, gracious, merciful person who ever walked the face of this planet. One day he said to the Pharisees, "The prostitutes and the publicans will go into the kingdom of heaven before you." When he was being criticized by the Pharisees for attending a party with sinners and publicans, Jesus said, "Those that are well don't need the physician, it's those that are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call the sinners to repentance." Sometimes Satan lies to us and he tells us, "You've gone too far. There is no forgiveness for you. You've sinned away the opportunity and the day of grace. You've turned your back upon the Lord, and look at the things that you've done. Look at the mess that you've made of your life. God's not interested in you." But Satan is a liar. So many times, he tries to make you believe that it's too late. You remember Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum, who had come to Jesus because his little daughter was dying. And as Jesus was going to the house with Jairus, there were those that came and said, "Trouble the master no further. Your daughter is dead. It's too late. Don't trouble the Lord." And Satan so oftentimes, I think, says to you, "Don't trouble the Lord. It's too late. You've gone too far. There's no help for you. Don't trouble the master any further." There's an old hymn of the church. I haven't heard it sung for a long time. But its title is, Christ Receiveth Sinful Men. And the refrain is, sing it o'er and o'er again, Christ receiveth sinful men. Sing it o'er and o'er again, Christ receiveth sinful men. And what a truth there is there. Christ does receive sinful men. Thank God for that. Jesus made two great revelations to this woman. The first is that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. To me, it's interesting that John puts this story alongside of the story of Jesus and Nicodemus in chapter 3. What a contrast we have of those two persons. Nicodemus, a very religious man, a teacher of the Jews, a woman who is very immoral, is living with a man and has lived with five other men at least. Vastly contrasted. One very moral and upright in the community, the other very immoral and ostracized by the community because of the immorality. But if you look at the message of Jesus to the two, the message is very similar. To Nicodemus, Jesus revealed the truth of the spirit realm and the necessity of being born by the Spirit if you're to enter the kingdom of heaven. You must, he said, be born again. The divine imperative. You've got to have a spiritual birth. Essentially, God is a spirit. If you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you've got to have a spiritual birth. You must be born again. To this woman, the same revelation. God is a spirit. And there's the spiritual thirst that can only be quenched when you come into a relationship with God. To her, the divine imperative was, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. As Jesus began to open to her this spiritual understanding, this dimension, she said, I know that when the Messiah comes, he's going to teach us all things. He will settle the theological debates. He'll let us know the truth of God and where I can find God and where I can worship God. It's interesting that as immoral as she was, she did believe in the coming of the Messiah. And she actually had a more true concept of the Messiah than did the Pharisees and the Jews. She felt that when the Messiah comes, he's going to teach us all things that we need to know. The Jews felt when the Messiah comes, he's going to lead us to overthrow the Roman government. So evidently, somewhere in her background, she had a spiritual background. Perhaps a godly mother, a godly father who would talk to her as a girl about the Messiah that was going to come and open up the truth to all of us. And she believed in the Messiah, though her life had strayed so far. Yet down deep inside, there was still that belief that the Messiah was going to come and lead into the light. Jesus then gave to her the second great revelation. As he said to her, "Woman, I who am speaking to you am he." It's interesting to me that this is the first recorded instance in the Bible where Jesus revealed to anyone that he was the Messiah. Others had said it about Jesus. This is the first time that he said it about himself. And who did he say it to? Interesting. He didn't say it to Nicodemus, this religious moral man. He said it to this immoral woman of Samaria. You're looking for the Messiah to guide you to God. I am the Messiah. In the 10th chapter, as we move on in John, we'll find the Jews saying to Jesus, "Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah?" When Jesus ultimately appears before the high priest and is there on trial, the high priest will say to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed." And Jesus responds to him, "I am." That's only the second time that Jesus actually affirms the fact that he is the Messiah. That is, by declaring it, "I am." But to this woman of Samaria, who had this deep inner thirst that she was trying to fill in vain with these immoral relationships, in his love and in his grace, he offers her water that will satisfy the thirst. Drink of it. You'll never thirst again. God is a spirit. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. I am the Messiah. I've come to teach you and to show you the way to God. Amazing story. Filled with grace, filled with beauty, filled with mercy. A story of our Lord, full of grace and truth. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your ways. Surely they are beyond our finding out. How that, Lord, you took the time to go through Samaria in order to meet this woman and bring to her the satisfaction that her soul was craving for and she had not yet found. Lord, we thank you that you came and you met us and you shared with us that living water and satisfied that deep, clamant cry of our soul for God. I pray for those today, Lord, who are still searching, those who are here this morning who still are in a quest, trying to satisfy that deep need within their life, maybe by relationships, maybe by things, maybe by experiences, and are finding themselves thirsty again. Oh Lord, how they need to drink of the fountain of life and never thirst again. Thank you, Father, that the invitation has been given to all those that thirst to come and to drink of the water of life freely. May we come, may we drink, and find that satisfaction that our soul is seeking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Maybe you can see some parallels between your life and that woman of Samaria, in that there is an emptiness and you're aware of it, and you've been sort of a phony. You've been wearing a mask and you know it. You've tried to hide the truth from others. You try to appear like everything is fine, but inside you're crying, you're hurting. There's a lot of pain. You know that there's got to be more to life. There is much more. There's life in the Spirit, which is true life. And I would encourage you to just come to Jesus Christ and drink of the water that He can give to you. Water that will quench your thirst for God fully and completely. Because He will bring you into the relationship with God that we all need. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. And there the Lord will open up for you the dimension of the Spirit. That dimension of your life that's been missing. And there you can find the water of life Jesus offered to her, He's offering it to you.